What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Barnes Social Hour. My name's Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean, and this is the Barnes Social Hour.
In person.
In person, yeah. We're actually having a little Artemis watch party.
We're nerds, as y'all know.
We're all sports fans, and we're also geeks. So, but that being said, there was a, if y'all remember, a stream last week where we were discussing.
Or a little bit ago.
Not last week, but.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it feels like a week. But it was me, Graham, and Kyle. We were talking about proposed NCAA rules, and one of them became officially official. And Graham, I believe, has that.
Pulled up.
Yeah, he has the file pulled up, or not the file, but yeah, the tweet.
So it was a post by On3 that was reporting it. And it was 2 hours ago. It says the NCAA has passed the blind transfer legislation for all of Division I sports, so not just college football, everything. And so this is prohibiting programs from adding players outside of the portal windows with coach suspensions and school fines as penalties. So obviously we saw that this is kind of going to be like a loophole to the transfer portal system where, you know, a coach could – or a player could leave a program and then join on to another school's program as like a walk-on or something outside of the transfer portal, you know, windows and stuff and be on the roster. So it sounds like they're trying to prevent this from happening. They just don't like – they want – once a roster is finalized after the portal's closed, that's it. Like that's all it wrote. That's the end of the – that's your roster now for the rest of the year until the next portal window. So yeah, we've kind of talked about before, like, it's going to be hard. And I think we talked about it on a live stream. Actually, I think it might have been one of our first live streams we talked about. So if you want to go find that,
yeah,
I think that's where we talked about it because I think Kyle was with us. But, we kind of talked about how it's going to be hard to enforce this rule. I mean, like, it got brought up with the fact of, like, well, is just leaving a school because you don't want to be there anymore and then transferring to another school as a student and then be like, oh, I'm going to play football. I'm going to walk on their football team. Like, is that really breaking any rules? You know what I mean? So, like, it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, if teams, one, still try to get around this rule and who's going to be the first to do it, obviously, because, like, you know, some of these, you know, penalties were pretty hefty. We talked about the first stream. I mean, school fines, coach suspensions, and I think, like, some of the coaching suspensions were pretty
– Yeah, it's like, pretty nasty.
Were pretty heavy, you know, suspensions. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how college sports world and as a whole, you know, take this and – see how people try to get around it.
Yeah, I think it boils down to the main, to me, the reason why they attacked this one first is there was no, you know, unless you're living under a rock, a lot of tampering went on this offseason, depending on, you know, it wasn't just one school, it was multiple. And there were some, you know, from the SEC that were in the spotlight, but they weren't the only ones doing it. My thing is, I'm glad they did it now instead of later. And, you know, the whole, like, the fact that they had this on the same table as, hey, I don't like how high those players' pants legs are. It's like, guys, what are we doing? Like, someone in the back's like, do you think we should focus on? No, I like this move. I really do. It's strict. The penalties are really strict. Like, if you violate this, it's not great for your program. And I'm not saying it'll like set your program back, but it will definitely like put a dent in recruiting wise. So I like it a lot personally, but we'll see, you know, how it plays out. Like I said, who knows? I'm sure there will be some form of tampering. People will find loopholes.
Oh, it happens every wazoo. Year.
Yeah, it's going to happen. But, you know, you never know. We'll see what happens and you know, go from there. But it's curious to see that they made it official this quick. Because that, to me, that shows me that, okay, this is getting out of hand, not only with the tampering thing, but with just these agents working behind the scenes being like, hey, you know, let's do this, or hey, let's sue them because they're not, like, I think this was like, hey, let's just put our foot down. Not really worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's good that they are, like, trying to be, like, efficient or, like, you know, quick in their, like, getting this stuff passed. But it'll be interesting to see, like, what else we get out of this. Because, like I said, there were multiple proposed rule changes. And, like, one of the ones that was proposed was the knee pads. And I think that one's been taken back since then. Like, I don't think that one is a really one that's they're looking at anymore. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what all
didn't they comes of this. What was the wasn't there another one? Was it the targeting?
Yeah, so there is a targeting rule that they've been looking at, where it's like a system where it's like, you know, your first targeting, you're sitting out for like the rest of the game, but you're not missing any of the first half next game. Right. You know, like in now, like if you target in the second half, you're missing the first half of the next game.
I think that's absurd.
So I think they're getting rid of that for like your first offense. But if it's like a second offense, then you might miss an extra, you know, half. And then the third offense or something like that, it's even worse. But
I think
I'm not totally against this rule.
No, I'm not either. But I think as far as targeting goes, I think they need to take a page out of the NFL's book, and you don't have to eject anybody at all.
Yeah.
You just make it, instead of like a 15-yard penalty, make it like a 20. I know that's like super drastic, but I mean, it'll not only keep players from being pissed at, you know, the rules that are being implemented, but hopefully prevent them from costing their team, you know, 20 yards potentially, if that's, you know, what they, you know, implement. Now, I'm just saying that that's what I think they should do. I'm not saying that's what's on the table personally, but that's just me. That's where I'm at with that.
So I'm looking at, you know, the current rule for this targeting. And it says, so the automatic second half suspension for a first time offense is removed. I'm not entirely sure, and this is something that would be a good question to ask. I'm not entirely sure if that means that, like, if you are in the first half, you target, are you allowed to come back and play in the second half? Like, is it only like a one half suspension for your first time? And then it says your second offense, get ejected for the first half of the following game. So, like, I'm not entirely sure. Like, is it like, you know, if you're ejected the first half in one game, if this is your second offense, are you ejected the second half and the first half in the next game? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
And then it says the third offense, and it's an ejection and a suspension for the full following game. So I get that. Like, that's, you know, obviously, like, if you're in the second half and it's your third offense of the year and you target, you're out for the whole next game. It's a pretty quick, you know, like the consequences level up pretty quickly. But yeah, that second offense is where I'm having.
Yeah, they need to, as far as targeting goes, and I know that's not like the main topic we're on, but as far as targeting goes, they need to reevaluate what targeting actually is, because multiple times last season and the year before, and honestly the year before that, it was like one that should have been blatant targeting. They launched, it was crown of the helmet, helmet to helmet, and they're like, well, technically his shoulder made contact first.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was a play in the Iron Bowl where Champ Anthony hit Ty Simpson, and it did not look like head-to-head contact at all, but he got called for targeting. And like you're saying, it's like there needs to be more consistency on what targeting is, you know? Like, it's become such like a ref discretion. Like, it's up to really the ref to decide, do I think this is targeting or do I not? Like, obviously, we have a criteria of what targeting is, but every ref is interpreting that criteria differently, and so when they're making a decision, it's different every single time for every single ref of what they believe is targeting. And so that just causes very inconsistent targeting calls, where one ref might be super strict on targeting and is like, the smallest little tap of the head is you're done, you're targeting, and another ref might be, we're playing football, it's not a big deal.
That's something that doesn't need to be scattered. That needs to be something that is
has to,
like,
be consistent.
This is what it is. Not this, but this.
Or, I mean, look, even have like a program inside the NCAA that is, they specify in targeting. So every targeting call that is made, like they sit on a Saturday or every day of the week, and there's college football, it's a big committee of people, and they sit in a room and they are just, you know, playing or watching games. And, you know, anytime a targeting call comes up, gets sent over to them, and they're the ones making the call. You know, like, you know, kind of like a replay booth, or, you know, how it gets sent to Birmingham or something like that. Like, Birmingham has, you know,
headquarters,
the SEC, where like they have, you know, review, like replay review. Have that for the NCAA, where targeting calls are made by one group of people who are try to be consistent.
Yeah. The thing to me that I wish the SEC would implement, what the ACC and the UFL does.
Yeah.
With where they go to the headquarters, you know, in Birmingham,
they show what's happening.
And they show what's happening, and you hear the audio being discussed between the referees and the people in the booth, in the replay booth.
You have so much more clarity and like discretion of why they're making their call. Like, for example, like targeting, I would love to know, like, in, like, I would love to hear why the ref is making that call. Like, what did the ref see in this play that's like, hey, that's good. That right there is going to warrant us giving him targeting. Because if you don't, and it's not a crazy good, you know, call, like, and it could go either way of targeting, then us fans of the team, you know, that players getting ejected, we're left high and dry of like, what do you mean that's targeting? Like that with no explanation. I think the fans and like the ACC, like you said, has done a very good job of this, deserves more of an explanation of like why some of these calls are happening. And especially with the horrible officiating we saw this year in the SEC, especially in some of the Auburn games. Like,
oh my God.
Like those moments right there is why you need
transparency.
Transparency. Exactly. Yeah. Like, because some of those calls that were made were so egregious. It was like, you're just going to leave the fans high and dry after making a call like that. And so. And it led to some firings. Like, we literally had a ref lose his ability to ref the rest of the season because of a call that he made.
Who has been a referee, like, a respected referee for at least since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this guy. So,
there needs to be more consistency in all of officiating.
Yeah, you get –
in every sport. I mean, college basketball, too. We saw – I mean, with Auburn and Texas A&M this year with that call of – no shot. We really didn't get any transparency or clarity of why they made their call like that.
Yeah.
It's refs can just leave the game without having to answer any questions about why they made certain calls. And I don't think it needs to be that way. I think refs have to answer for their calls.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I mean, if coaches, if you expect coaches and players to sit down in press game or post game press conferences and answer about a bad loss or something like that and why it was that way and what they could do to be better. Why aren't we doing the same thing for refs? They have the same impact on a game. In fact, maybe even more than what the coaches and players do.
Yeah, I agree. I think overall, like as far as the rule that we're talking about, I think it's a good thing for college sports because the whole tampering thing, it just turns it into NFL free agency. Yes, I am fully aware of the players that are getting paid, they might as well just be professionals now. I understand that. Okay. I'm not blind to that. But as far as like what we were talking about, fan transparency, this is the NCAA kind of opening the curtain, being like, hey, this has been going on, which we've known this. It's not exactly transparent. It's more of an accountability thing. The NCAA like finally putting their foot down on something, being like, hey, can't do this behind the scenes. There is not going to be any more, hey, well, you know, before the offseason starts, you know, hold us a spot.
Yeah. And it's also kind of getting around like the, you know, they had a spring window, which they've now gotten rid of.
Yes.
And like that's kind of trying to stop, like that's trying to stop teams from doing this shadow
transfer their counter.
Because the spring window is gone. It's like, okay, well, since we don't have the spring window, then we're gonna do
et cetera. Yeah. And you know what's awesome? The spring window.
Buying
Roback. That's
absolutely
correct.
So yeah, go to Roback. Use Roback.com, use code BARN20 and get 20% off your next order. They have so many different hoodies, like you see right here on the screen. They're super lightweight and super comfortable. They have polos, a bunch of different Auburn gear, you know, officially licensed Auburn gear. So yeah, if you head to roback.com and using code BARN20, you get 20% off your next order. We really appreciate their partnership with the Barn Social Hour. We really appreciate their partnership with the Barn.
And we have a new shop as well. It is called aushirts.com. And if you rock with the Barn, you might as well support the gear that has all the inside jokes, has all the references that you know and love from the Barn cast and your favorite personalities from the Barn. So go to aushirts.com to purchase the new gear. You see it on your screen now. It is exactly how it looks when you scroll. So I'm very excited about this. It's been a long time coming.
Hey, there's a lot more stuff coming.
Oh, yes.
We've got so much more stuff coming in the near future. This is just the very beginning of it. We're going to have social hour stuff coming in the future. Social hour merch is going to be out there for y'all to buy. Like, this is for...
Keep your eyes out.
Yes, exactly. Peeled. This is for you eyes guys peeled. That have been asking, have been wanting, you know, Barn merch. This is your chance to go get in on it. And we would really, really appreciate y'all helped out.
Yeah, it would be really cool to see some of y'all. In fact, if you get anything, tag the Barn. Yes,
send us a picture. Send both of us a picture.
Yeah, tag the Barn. We'll feature it on the show, and we'll, you know, add it to the little promo. Exactly. We'll have some fun with this. So I'm excited about the AUShirts.com. Again, that is AUShirts.com. Especially
when the Barnes Social Hour merch comes out, you get that and you send it to us or tag us in a picture of it. We will feature y'all.
We're brainstorming right now too. And yeah, I think y'all are gonna like what we have to offer. It's really cool. But again, it's AUShirts.com. The gear that you saw on the screen, that is what you will find at AUShirts.com. Again, that is AUShirts.com. Graham, we have
we're playing in the Final Four.
Yeah, we're playing in the Final Four. We're still hooping.
It's April. We're
still hooping in April, babe. Let's go. It's spring. Let's go, man.
I think that other state first. Yeah, I think the other tournament starts today too.
Yeah, it does. So
we got basketball today.
A lot going on. And we play April 2nd?
Tomorrow.
So tomorrow night.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m.
So be sure to tune into the Illinois State. Yes, Illinois State. Tip off 8:30 p.m. Be sure to tune into the Barncast. I'm sure we'll have one. I will for sure be there.
I will be there.
Let's go. He's back. I'm back. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. I am
not missing it tonight.
He is back. Or
tomorrow night.
Henderson. He's back. Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be fun to see the guys hooping again. And this time it's neutral site.
It's been a minute that we've played.
It feels like forever. It's neutral
site. Yeah, we're playing in Indy.
Yeah, in Indy, neutral site game. I've seen some pictures already. I kind of like it's not as big, obviously, as the Final Four.
It's not playing a football or stadium.
But it's like a field house almost.
It's where Butler plays.
Yes.
It's Butler's field house.
Correct.
It looks really cool.
So
it's going to be fun.
I'm excited. Who do you expect to show out in the game? Do you think Tejada will have a big game? Do you think the usual suspects, Freeman and Overton, will step out? Potentially Jovic?
I'm feeling an Overton.
Yeah.
I feel like he might get hot tomorrow shooting wise. Mm-hmm. Like shoot the ball well. That's the case. And I think we should beat them.
I don't think we
can they beat us? Absolutely. I'm with Bethune Cookman. And we struggled with South Alabama.
Yeah, we're not
now,
a perfect
team.
Do I think
this team now is more bought into the NIT tournament than they were?
Yes.
In the first game against South Alabama? 100%. Mm-hmm. Now, especially that they've made it to the Final Four. They're playing in Indianapolis, they're playing for a championship.
All they got to do is win two games and they're good.
Yeah. I mean, they win two games and they've won an NIT championship. And I mean, obviously it's not March Madness and it's frustrating, but at the end of the day, it's still a championship. And so it's still a prestigious tournament that is that top two of three.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm pulling, honestly, like I hope we win this whole thing. As a fan, y'all know how big of a basketball fan I am, but I personally, I'm choosing to pull for Steven on this.
100%.
I'm not saying he needs this, but
being that recruit yesterday, I was like, let's go, Steven. Let's win this whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, might as well and keep the momentum up, because I mean, there's potential, portal gets around the corner. Yeah. I'm telling you, we are potentially months away from having some more additions to this roster that could be potentially very exciting for a lot of people. So, again, 8:30 p.m. tip off, Illinois State, right? The Cardinals, they look like the knockoff team move.
Ball State,
yeah. And,
which is not a state.
No, it's not a state.
Illinois is a state, though.
It is a state. Yeah, Illinois
is a state.
Ball is not a state. Because ball is life. And no, that sucks.
Okay, that's all we're gonna have for today.
But again, tomorrow 8:30 p.m. Barncast. I'll be there. Graham will be there. Kyle Rush will be there. Potentially Zach and maybe Daryl as well. I'm not sure, but we'll see. For sure, me and Graham will be there though with Kyle. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. So be sure to tune in. You never know what happened on a Barncast if you were there last time. You know. That's all I'm gonna say. So. If you're not there and you've never been before, trust me, you're going to have the time of your life. It's a lot of fun to watch the game and keep up with it and have some fun goofing off as well. So we like to smile through the pain as I promote it. So come and laugh and cry and throw up and hang out, So, but yeah, other than that, don't forget to subscribe to The Barn. Also, check out the other podcasts we have on here, including this one. We also have the Top Button Podcast with Charlie Five, a.k.a. Kyle Rush. We have Village Vice with Zach Blackerby and Brad Law and Baseball Show with Lindsey Crosby, Brad Law, and occasionally Sonny DeShera. So, and baseball right now is on a little skid. I trust Butch Thompson,
though.
I think they'll bounce back. It's tough right now, It really is. And I know everyone's like, well,
we lost four straight.
Yeah, we lost four straight against an Alabama more. Team that we should have beaten easily. And might be more than four. But I trust Butch. I trust that staff because, I mean, we started out hot. We beat teams we shouldn't have beat. And I think if we get our bearings about us and take a deep breath and kind of have a little mental reset, I think we'll be just fine. So I'm trusting a Butch Thompson, and I think you should too. But that being said, Graham, I don't have anything else. You got anything?
Just a quick reminder, go to aushirts.com.
Yes.
Check out.
Yes, aushirts.com. Again, that is the place to get any barn gear that you want that is referencing anything and everything inside jokes that have happened on Barncast. So, again, we are very thankful for the opportunity to get to do this. By the time you're watching this, we're headed back to the moon. So
Hopefully,
for the first time since 1972.
T-minus, as we're recording this, T-minus 30 minutes right now.
Yes, as of this recording. So,
When this goes up, hopefully
We're already in space hopefully and headed space. That way. So, whipping around the Earth's atmosphere. But with that being said, my name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. And as always, folks, have a great rest of your evening and war damn
Goodbye.